Yo, what is going on? Howie Spangler here. How you guys doing? This is Tales from the Green Room, episode number 140. It's morning time. It's about 9:38 East Coast. You know, I find that I like doing stuff in the morning. I like getting up and get my kids to school, make a cup of coffee, and my Ninja Turtles mug. I also have a Spider-Man mug that I got for Christmas, which I like that one as well. I've been rocking this Turtles mug for several years now. Hot black coffee, baby. Yeah, I've been realizing that I realized a long time ago, I guess, that I really like getting things done in the morning. I like being like, when like 4 o'clock comes, I'm just like over it. Like, I don't want to do anything anymore. Like, all the wind leaves my sails, and I've been trying to like work on waking up earlier. You know, like, it's been 7:30 lately. It's not early enough though, because the kids got to get up about 7:30, and I got to get them up and make their lunches and get them on the bus, you know? So like, it's just, yeah, I got to get my ass up at like 4, apparently. it's cool. I like the idea of, getting up, you know, doing the podcast, like being productive. That's just the fun. It's just fun. And I got good vibes in the morning. I'm definitely a morning person. And I guess I've always been a morning person. I like waking up, and like I said, getting the coffee and all that. And sorry, I'm disabling these notifications here. Okay. Blow me up. I don't know. Are you guys like that? Do you guys like getting things done in the morning? I understand like not wanting to wake up early and all that, but, I don't know. It's just fun. I like the sun. I like the placement of the sun in the morning shining through the eastern side of my house. I don't know. It's just good vibes. I got motivated to do a podcast. I've been so lazy on the production stuff, like as far as like making videos on YouTube and making podcasts. And it's like, I know some of you are like, yeah, but you work a lot, you do a lot of stuff, you know. Like, I do, but as I said, I start getting very unmotivated late afternoon, you know. I start feeling like, I don't feel like doing anything now, you know. There's something about the morning. And so now I've just been, I tell myself every day that I'm going to get up early, which I don't. And I'm going to go to the gym, which I don't. Although lately I've had, back here, I've got these, you kind of see them right there. A couple dumbbells there. And I've been doing some push-ups and, you know, just trying to be better. You know, I got a wedding coming up in August, and it's just going to be, I don't know. I want to look good. You know, I don't want to look like such a bag of shit. And some of you out there, come on, you're not a bag of shit. You're tall and you're skinny, right? You lanky motherfucker. And it's, yes, those are all true things. But, you know, you just feel uncomfortable in your own skin. You know, that feeling is just like, and I know I eat like shit. I had, oh my God, we got Pat's Pizzeria the other day. And I don't want to shit on Pat's Pizzeria here in Havity Grace. But, I mean, it was good. It was delicious. But, man, it messed up my stomach. I couldn't sleep 2 nights ago. I couldn't get to sleep. Like, we got it for my son's birthday party, and I'll talk about that. That was cool. My son's birthday party, we did that, and I got 4 large pizzas and just enough. I love when you get just enough pizza. I feel like 11 years in, I've finally got it dialed on how much pizza I need for the birthday party. Because the first 10 years or so, I definitely was buying way too much pizza, way too much food. It's always like a pizza party, you know? I always end up with like 4 or 5 pizzas back at my house. And I'm like begging my friends, bro, take this, take 2, like take them, you know? And people are like, oh, I'm full. I don't need it. I don't want it, you know? So I got to take it home. I don't want to waste food. I don't like wasting food. I hate the idea of wasting. So yeah, I take it home and then I punish myself. And that's not fun. I mean, it's fun at the time, right? It's fun at the time, but it's not later you pay for it. So anyway, I know I'm eating like shit. I can feel it in my stomach and in my chest sometimes, like heartburn. They diagnosed me with acid reflux last year. Like, I was having some issues with my voice and I didn't know what was going on and I just burp all the time, and it's been a lot better. They had me on this medication and I stopped taking it a few months ago. I was on there for about 3 months, and I can't tell if it's from the pill that I was taking or if it's just because I've been dialing back on the coffee, because I did that. Apparently coffee can enhance the acid reflux. So, I mean, I just drink, I switch to dark roast coffee. So I have that here at the house. I have that every morning. I only do 1 cup now. Sometimes I'll treat myself to 2 cups. But I used to just crush, you know, 3 or 4 cups a day. And, you know, before I had the Keurig years ago, I'd have the whole, you know, the whole, what the hell am I trying to say? The coffee maker, you pour the water in, you know, I got 12 cups in there, and I would drink the whole goddamn thing, you know, all day long. So as I get older, I realized that I had to quit that. And so now I'm doing the dark roast, because the dark roast is lower in acid, higher pH. And I feel like that's been better. I do feel a burp coming on right now. Jesus. So I'm not saying it's completely stopped, but, I feel like it's less than it was. So, and to be honest, like I said, I don't know if the medicine was actually making it any better or if it was because I was changing my habits a little bit. Does medicine make us better? or does it just destroy us and make us need more medicine? That's what I think. We don't have to go down that YouTube rabbit hole right now. That's another podcast entirely. So anyway, yeah, I've been trying to be better. I got these weights, been doing push-ups, and I can already feel it. Like when I start working out after a couple of days, I can just feel it already. Like I feel the difference. And like, you know, I remember back in October, I went to we have a Planet Fitness membership. It's, you know, 10 minutes away. It's, you know, really no excuse for me not to be there right now. Kids are in school, you know. Anyway, so we have a Planet Fitness membership over there, and it's great. Everything, you know, for some reason it gets shit on, but I guess maybe that's like for the real gym rats that like work out like for 4 hours, 5 days a week. Maybe that's not for them. I don't know, but I feel like it has everything that I need. You know, the machines make it very easy. But I digress. So we have a membership over there, and October I was there. That was the last time I went to the gym. It was October. It's disgusting. And I started after like 2 days. I was doing a lot of flies. I was doing a lot of flies, like pulling down, right? that's the noises I make when I work out. It weirds out the whole gym. And so I noticed I started getting titties. I was like, oh, what's this? Oh, this is nice. And like, you could like, it was kind of hard, you know, and like like the breasts were hard, but like in a good way, you know? And like, so, and you would like, I could run my hand over my chest and like, there's that little dip in the middle between the pecs, baby. Yeah. Yeah. I was feeling good. I was like, damn. Okay. Okay. Fucking Chris Hemsworth over here. Chris Hemsworth is the dude that I look up to because he's tall like me. And I'm like, dude, can I look like that? Oh, that'd be amazing. You know, I'm not going to look like that, not living the way I'm living. I'll tell you that. But it's something to strive for. He's got that kind of swimmer's body, but like, it just, he's just fucking yoked. And he's responsible and he takes care of himself. So, and I'm like the opposite. So, I don't know. That's just the dumb shit that I think about. So yeah, I get excited and then I, you know, I stop going and, you know, I think it was, yeah, I did like, I did a trip to Ohio back in October and it was that week I was working out. And then I hit the gym in the morning at one of the hotels, I think once, maybe twice. And then I just stopped. Like, and the run was over and then I never went back to the gym. So, and then the holidays hit and I fucking gained like 20 pounds, dude. Close to 20 pounds, probably like 18, 17 pounds. Put me at 192. I've never been over like 185 my entire life. And even 185 was like, whoa, you know, I've always been like 170, 165. And I could stand to gain some weight. That's for sure. But the right way, you know, I'd rather have it be like muscle, you know, like 10 to 15 pounds of muscle, not fat. So I feel shitty all the time. And I know why. It's because my diet habits and I'm probably not getting enough sleep. So, you know, I've been reading this book called, hold on, let me grab it. It's, I don't want to get it wrong. Okay. It's called The Power of Discipline by Daniel Walter. And I was reading, I go through and I like highlight things as I'm going. There were just some things that popped out, you know, and it was like, yeah, if you want to get more out of life, you're going to need to raise the bar and set your standards higher. Okay. So like, obviously a lot of this is like, you know, oh yeah, no shit. Fucking duh. Right. But it's just things that like sort of reinforces the, you know, your own thoughts. So like we all know we need to do better, right? But this book has like kind of just been reinforcing that. You got to keep developing yourself. Never assume that you've made it and always aim to be better today than you were yesterday. Absolutely. And that goes with like anything, your job, your health, you know, it can apply to lots of things. I can't find the damn piece that was sticking out to me. But yeah, it's about how to master self-discipline. If you want to get it, I'll put the link in the description below. But The Power of Discipline by Daniel Walter. It's pretty short. It's like 130 pages. Not bad at all. You could read this in a couple days, you know. This urge surfing. This, I thought this was interesting. So like urge surfing, right? And we've all done this. So an urge is the physical and mental impulse to engage in habitual behavior. Okay. An urge is the physical and mental impulse to engage in habitual behavior. Here we go. It's the norm for us to identify with our urges, but urge surfing helps us separate ourselves from the bad habits we desire to correct. Instead of thinking, I feel like eating cake, say, I have an urge to eat a piece of cake. In this way, you are not fighting yourself, but the sensation you are experiencing. You can then allow it to pass. It's difficult to fight urges, but observing them without identifying with them increases your chances of overcoming them. The average urge will peak between 20 and 30 minutes if you fight with it. Fighting urges doesn't work because it makes them stronger and longer lasting, which in turn diminishes your confidence about your ability to fight them. So it happens to me, like I'm like, I'll just have that pack of cookies. Why not? I'll just eat it, you know, it's fine. And then I do, you know, instead of going like, okay, I want to eat the cookies. You know, like you gotta walk away, you know, you gotta do something else. If you can start seeing urges and temptations with curiosity rather than fear, changing your behavior will become a lot easier. Spend time studying your own habits and pay attention to your urges. Once you master urge surfing, you can overcome any addiction. So, yeah, it's like acknowledge that it's there, but surf it. Just like ride it out. Until it's over, and you don't need it anymore. Because like I've thought about that, you know, like, you know what, like what if I just didn't eat the goddamn cookies? What if I just put the goddamn ice cream down, you know, and I did push-ups, or I just sat and like played video games, you know. Probably should be something active, but still, you're not doing the thing. You know, you're not doing the thing that's, you know, your body wants you to do. So it was the same thing with when I was doing what's it called? Oh, intermittent fasting. I was doing intermittent fasting, and after like 2 days, it was fine. Like I was totally fine. I did it for a month, and it felt great. You know, like right now I feel like shit. I just feel it. And it's like, you don't realize like how bad you feel all the time. And then when you are treating yourself good, you know, you're fasting, you're eating correctly, you're getting enough sleep, you don't notice the pains, and then you just go on with your fucking life, you know? So that's kind of how it was when I was intermittent fasting. It's like, I felt great. I felt light, you know, I was working out at the same time, and it just, I don't know. We were just so conditioned from being kids, you know, to like, you know, eat and junk food and sugar. And, you know, it's just so hard. It's so hard to, you know, anyway. All right, we're going to move past this. So my son's birthday party was this past Sunday. Had a great day with friends. It was, thank you guys for coming out. Coffee. So, yeah, we did it at Hopkins Farm Brewery. It's down the street here. So cool that we have a brewery here. It's been a farm for decades, but they converted it, and it opened up last year during the pandemic. And I've never seen, you know, a company boom like that, you know, in a pandemic. You know, just people there all the time. And it's cool. It's outside, so you can be distanced and you can be in your own little group. They got great beers, and they let us, you know, just come in and just have the party. They didn't charge us or anything. They even held onto the ice cream cake in the cooler there for a couple hours until we needed it. Just cool, good staff, and a good place to go. And it was a lot of fun. A bunch of our friends came, brought their kids, and the kids just played out in the field there and got dirty, and everybody had a good old time. So thanks to everybody. My son's 11. That's wild. I mean, I was 29 when she told me she was pregnant, and scared the crap out of me, you know? And I had like, at the time, like no business having a baby. I was so deep into the band thing, you know. I was so I just couldn't imagine like how much this was going to change my life, change the course. And I was playing Xbox. I was playing Arkham Asylum on Xbox, and she texts me, "I am pregnant," like big letters. That's how I found out. All caps, 13 exclamation marks. And I put the phone down in one hand, and then I had the controller in the other hand, and I just looked at it, and I was like, "Goodbye, old friend." I just laid it on the bed. I didn't touch that shit for like 6 years. It took 6 years before I could get back into gaming of any type. And it was very light too, like very light gaming. So it's like, some of you guys have been seeing me, streaming games on Twitch and YouTube. Just the last 2 years, has been the most gaming I've done, since he was born. I don't think you're ever ready for it. I think you can plan, and we certainly did not plan, but we just did it, and we got an apartment, within a few months we had an apartment, and because I was living with some dude at the time renting his room, and long hair, don't care, and just, man, crazy, man. I'm so proud of my son. He's so cool. He's 11 now, and he's just become this brooding preteen. he's a good kid, and he's into streaming and Fortnite, and just, I guess, all the things that 11-year-olds are into. So I don't know. He's just super cool, and I love him so much. Okay, what's happening? What is happening? What is happening?
What's happening? What's happening? Oh my God, what's happening?
Thank you, Donald. What is happening? So lately, I've been trying to think of some ways to engage with the fans a little bit more. And I've been checking out YouTube memberships. So I started on Twitch. Let me go back. I started on Twitch a couple months back, and that was great. I got 100 followers pretty quickly. And thanks to everybody following me over at Twitch. I started talking to my friend Nate from a band called Ayaterra, and he dove head first into Twitch. And he was he watched all the videos. He learned how to do it all, learned how Twitch works in and out, learned how to use all of the features. He became affiliate pretty quickly, and does the custom emojis and all types of things, and the subs, and people are he's got this community over there, and they're just they're gifting each other subs, and it's this whole fun thing. And it's I haven't been able to really dive in like that, and I was kind of holding myself back. I got offered to be affiliate within the first few weeks of starting on Twitch, and I started seeing videos popping up on my YouTube feed. You search for one thing, and then you start seeing a million videos about it, about how being affiliate might not be the best thing. One of the things that stopped me was you're not supposed to be able to multicast. So typically when I do a stream, I'll stream to YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, sometimes Twitter. And it's just better because not everybody's on the same platform, so you want to get it out as much as possible. So I use Restream to multicast. And with Twitch, you're not supposed to be able to do that. You're technically not allowed when you're an affiliate. You have to have a dedicated stream only on Twitch. And then they take I don't know what the percentage is, a pretty big percentage. I know YouTube takes 30%, which is pretty hefty, I'd say. It'd be a lot better if it was 20% or even 15%. But the platform is free, so I don't know. So I was really holding off, and I didn't do the affiliate program. And I think now that now that I'm, you know, because I've been building on YouTube for a few years now, and it just makes more sense to do everything over here. Like, the features on YouTube are even better than Twitch, like, and discoverability and all that. Like, that doesn't really exist on Twitch. And you're not really getting discovered while you're live streaming. You know, you have to post videos, and there's no way to really do that on Twitch. And YouTube has stories and shorts and the community posts, and now they have memberships. And I saw that I was eligible for memberships, and so memberships, like, scares me. It's always scared me, like Patreon, like, it's always really scared me, because I don't like feeling like I have to make content. I like making content because I want to make content when I want to make the content. But I do understand that there's something to consistency, the frequency of how much you put the content out. So I get that, but I don't want to feel like forced. Also, and the other thing too is, like, what is the value that I'm providing that makes someone want to, you know, pay a monthly subscription to see my stuff when a lot of it is just out there? I put so much out there for free, and I've done that just forever, you know, and I engage and we hang, and, you know, all my stuff's free. So I don't know exactly what I could do better to increase the value. So I started thinking, like, okay, what if it's more or less like, what if it's just about your support, right? The support of my viewers, my listeners. You know, if so, I'm obviously going to try to do some things to make it interesting and, you know, make it worth you know, your hard-earned money. But I think at the base of it, I think it's mostly like, and I'll go into that in a second, by the way, about how this is going to work. But I got to pull this page up, take a look at this. But what I'm thinking is, I've got three tiers set up, and it's not live yet, but supporter for 99 cents a month, lifer for $4.99, and ride or die for $9.99 a month. And there's different, so the different tiers are like, so you'll get loyalty everybody, all members get loyalty badges and emojis regardless of what tier you're on. And then there's things like members only live chats, photos and updates, like, only to you guys that the public won't see. So that's the basic. And then the lifer for $4.99, you've got everything from the first package and then also early access to new videos. So when I post a video, you'll actually see it first before it goes live. So, you know, a day or two before, you'll have a chance to get in there and engage and comment, or, you know, at least watch it. Member shout outs, like things like, you know, when I make a video, I'll just randomly shout out, welcome any new members, any random current members, things like that. You know, just it's exciting, it's fun, you know. Then I got the ride or die for $9.99, which is all the previous things, and then members only live streams. So members only live stream will be like a live stream, me playing guitar, singing, like what I've done in the past. And I will continue to keep doing that to the public, but there will be certain streams that are strictly for my ride or dies. So just things like that, different tiers. And I figure, like, you know, most people are probably just going to get the 99 cent package if they do anything at all. And I'm just grateful for your attention to begin with. So none of this is like, I don't expect really anybody to do this. It's just, I just figured I'd set it up in case it's there. 'Cause I do get people that ask a lot, how they can support, like, what can I do to support? This is one of those things. I figured I'd just add it there. If you want to do it, you can. So what you're going to see next to my subscribe button on my page, you're going to see a join button. And that's where you can join up on one of these tiers. And it's something you can cancel whenever you want. No hard feelings. And I was doing this before on the podcast over at Anchor. And I still have a few people over there. But I feel like, you know, since I do the podcast over here, YouTube, along with the rest of my content, it just makes more sense to bring it over here. So if you're over there at Anchor and you want to move your subscription here, this could be a way to do that. I know I've had some people that have been following the podcast for years now, 3 years. I'm sorry about that. So yeah, if you're looking to support and you just, you know, like an easy way, this is the way to do it right here with YouTube memberships. And I will be thinking of ways to make it fun and interesting. I've got some really cool, loyalty badges here, and it's cool. They change every month or so. So like you'll be able to tell who's been a member longer by, you know, looking at their little, I got these little pineapple badges that I made, and they're all different colors. So that's fun. And I'm still working on the emojis, actually. I got to come up with some fun emojis. And so you can use those during the live streams, like throw them up in the chat and all that. Super chat is still available, you know, for requests and things like that. But yeah, so I'm kind of looking at this like a way to support, you know. And it's just, I just can't think of other things that I could do to make it any more behind the scenes, or like, you know, any more like, you know, what you guys could let me know in the comments. Let me know what I could do to make things even more valuable to you. And I'll try to get that done, you know? So yeah, that's YouTube memberships. It's going to be live soon. Once I finish setting it up, and you just hit the join button and you pick your tier. That's it. So, yeah. And I just thank everybody, like I said, to begin with, for even watching or listening to my stuff, just consuming my content, means a lot as always. Yeah. So YouTube memberships could be cool. It could be fun. There could be some cool stuff. The members only live stream could get interesting. Supporter, lifer, ride or die. So you choose, and it is what it is. I'm not gonna be mad if you don't choose the ride or die. It's all good. I'm not gonna be mad if you don't do any of this. We good? Anyway, so yeah, that's the long version of what's happening over at YouTube here. So for you nerds out there, let's see if this shows up in the camera. This guy right here, I picked up this, right? This is a SSD drive. So I was looking for, a solution, because when I'm producing, recording a band, whatever, and I go on the road, I take my laptop with me. And my laptop is great. It's a beast, man. So, it doesn't crash. Like it only failed on me, I think, twice. And I've made several records with this thing, like long records, like many, many tracks. And it's been great. So anyway, the problem is, you know, with these new MacBooks, you can only get like 512 gigabytes or a terabyte, but the more you go up, the more expensive it gets. But at the same time, you need space, because these sound libraries that I use, like drum tones and, you know, organs and synths and all kinds of other stuff, all the fun stuff, these libraries get huge. Like the Apple Logic library is like 60 gigs, the sound library there. So like, and you know, so I have Native Instruments, I have TuneTrack, I have a lot of like fun sounds that I like to use on these records that I make. So I was trying to come up with a solution. What can I do to get more space, and not, you know, have to get a second mortgage? And So I started doing some research. An SSD is expensive, dude. And apparently there's like a chip shortage these days. I saw something about that. I want to watch the video about that. Anyway, so here's what I did. I went online and I bought, I went to Amazon and I bought this SSD M.2. It's for a laptop. Okay. It's for a laptop. It's 2 terabytes. Got it for like, I think it was around $200. I'll put the link in the description if you're interested. So I bought that and then I bought it. So this is an internal, SSD, but then I bought an enclosure by Moken SSD enclosure for M.2. Okay. Now you got to make sure you're looking at the right numbers. Cause I believe it's for it's the 2800 M.2. The numbers matter. Okay. Sorry, the 2280. So you got to make sure that whatever SSD you get, the enclosure will match and be compatible with it. So when I looked up this enclosure, it was compatible with the M.2 2280 SSD. And the thing is cute, man. It's just little, it's like 3 inches long. And it's got a little LED light on there. It's really nice. It's slick, you know. It's small and it's got 2 terabytes of space. So I just moved my entire libraries over to it. So now when I go between my iMac and my MacBook when I'm traveling, I just bring that and I have everything I need. Because there was a problem recently where an artist I'm working with, I sent him a reference bounce of an updated edit I was working on, one of his tracks, and it was missing some parts like organs and pianos, and that was all software stuff that I did here. And I don't have those instruments on my laptop because of the space. So I was like, well, I want everything to be the same no matter where I'm working. So far, I've had this plugged into the iMac and it hasn't failed. It's knock on wood. It's been great. So I don't know. We'll see. I still have yet to plug it into the laptop, and it's USB-C, so it's going to be super fast. It's Thunderbolt 3 capable, so it's compatible. So when I plug it into my laptop, things should just fly. I know this other SSD that I had USB-C. I would copy footage to it, and you know it's anywhere. It's a couple gigs of footage. Man, this shit would transfer in seconds. It was there. It was copied. So. Yeah, I love the time we live in right now. Like, it's the best time to be alive. Like, everything's just moving so fast, the technology. SSD is still expensive. I'm seeing some things come down a little bit. But, you know, in the next couple of years, I imagine SSD is going to be a lot more affordable and probably even smaller. And it's just, you know, just the speed and just all the tools we have to work with right now as creators is just incredible. So, yeah, that's been my what's happening nerd minute. But yeah, if anybody's interested, I'll put links in the description down below. You can check all this stuff out, the book and all that, because I like to share. What else is going on? Next week, Brandon and I, well, for this Friday, actually, my brother and I are going to be at Ramshead on stage in Annapolis, playing an acoustic set. And I know some of you watching on YouTube right now, like, this is probably annoying the shit out of you. I got this XLR connector just hanging here. It's because I'm going through my Rodecaster, and I just have a different cable. Because the way I have it routed, like, it's just easier for me to unplug this and plug this straight into the Rodecaster. So, yeah, I got to figure this out, though. That annoys me. My brother and I are going to be in Annapolis on Friday. 2 shows, early show, late show. It was sold out, but it became unsold out because now the restrictions have been lifted. And now I think we're at like 50% capacity. So more tickets have been made available. You go to my website, howiespangler.com, grab tickets. I'll also put the link in the description. So looking forward to that. And then next week, I'm heading to Texas with Brandon Hardesty of Bumpin' Uglies. We just came back from a run in Ohio together. We did that, and that was a lot of fun. The shows were sold out. Everybody's just ready to rage again, you know? All the clubs and bars seem to have caught on to, the tabled COVID-style shows. And I hate that, you know, we have to refer to it like that, but socially distanced events. I'm vaccinated. So, and I know that half the country's now at least had one shot. So I'm feeling less guilty about playing shows. I feel like it's time to get our asses in gear and start opening things up again. And if you don't want to take the vaccine, that, you know, that's on you, I guess. And now I'm fucking getting all political. but look, man, I'm ready to get back to work. I think a lot of us are. You know, these businesses need to make money, including my business. I would like to get out there and make some money again and just play shows and do what I love. You know, and I know you guys want to get out there and enjoy shows. So I'm feeling less guilty about it. I'm looking forward to getting out to Texas. I know you motherfuckers are crazy out there in Texas. And you guys have been raging the whole time. It's going to be like nothing for you, I'm sure, but I'm going to get out there and have a great time. We're playing some cool venues, cool cities, Austin, San Antonio, Houston, Corpus Christi, Dallas. And then we're going to fly to Colorado, and I'm going to do Greeley, Pueblo, Red Rocks, Colorado, Morrison. I'll get to that in a second. And then I've got a private party in Denver, and then heading to Casper, Wyoming. So, and then it's a 4-hour drive back to the airport, and then I fly home. So yeah, Red Rocks, man. Red Rocks is something that, like, it's one of those bucket list venues that all artists want to put on their list. You know, they want to scratch that off. It's certainly not the way that I thought I would get into Red Rocks. Brandon said the same thing, you know, but we'll take it. This is a way in, I guess. We know the promoter now, and hopefully this opens the door for maybe opening with the full band and then eventually headlining. You know, the goal is to headline Red Rocks, and the place is rad. If you've never checked it out, it's this outdoor sort of natural amphitheater that they converted to a venue. I don't know how long it's been there. I mean, technically it's probably been there for millions of years. But as a venue, as Red Rocks, as we know it, I'm not sure. Decades, I imagine. So it's just a cool spot. I saw 311 play there on their, you know, I didn't see them play, but it was on their Enlarge to Show Detail home video back in like 96. They played Red Rocks, and I think ever since then, it's been like a dream, a goal. And then Incubus did a live at Red Rocks, you know. So we're going to get in there and do that. And it's going to be 20 minutes, and I'm sure it's going to fly by. And then, you know, Denim and the Movement and Expendables are gonna take the stage. So we're just kind of there to get the night started. We're going to do two Ugly songs, two Ballyhoo songs, and that's going to be it. You know, so, but it's cool. We're going to get that, you know, that honor of playing there in front of people. And it's about 2,500 cap right now. I think it's normally 9,000, but right now it's at 2,500. And I'd heard something about possibly making more tickets available if the restrictions are lifted. So we'll see. But really looking forward to it. If you're trying to get tickets, that is sold out at the moment. But the other shows, just go to howiespangler.com. All the tickets are there at the respective venue sites. And come out and see us. I got new merch. Those purple tanks have been flying. Ladies, thank you so much. Those racer backs. It's got that hot pink shark on there with my name on it. I always thought it was weird to put my name on a shirt and like people wear that on their chest, like, but I guess that's, you know, I guess that's what you want, you know. Seems to be not a thing for you guys. Like it's all good. So I'm going to get over myself and just keep making shirts with my name on them, I guess. Even with the Ballyhoo stuff, though, like I always thought, like, I want to make shirts that, like, I would like to have shirts that, like, don't even say Ballyhoo on them. Or maybe, like, they have Ballyhoo on the tag. I'd rather be, like, about the look of the shirt, the feel, you know, comfort, just a cool design, minimal, I don't know. And that's a Ballyhoo shirt. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, that would just be cool. But I get it. You want to have the band name on there. I'm wearing a Nirvana shirt right now. But I mean, Nirvana's become a brand, right? I mean, you got like, you got these young TikTok chicks that like have no idea who Nirvana is, you know? Like, it's the same thing with like, Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix and Motley Crue t-shirts. It's like, you don't even know who they are, right? Okay, rant over. Anyway, yeah, so that's what's been happening. That's what's been going on in my life. We covered a lot of things today. We covered a lot. Thanks to everybody for all the support. I will be turning on YouTube memberships very soon. Be looking out for that on my socials. Follow me on Instagram. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button, smash the like button, and eventually you better hit that join button if you'd like to be part of my little team, my little group, my little community over here on my little slice of YouTube. Yeah, well, you guys have a great day. Take it easy. This has been episode number 140 of Tales from the Green Room podcast. I appreciate all the support. And thanks so much. I can't believe we got 140 episodes in. This is great. I hope you guys found some value from this. If you did, and you're listening on a Apple podcast, please rate it, review it, share it with your friends, all that fun stuff. This podcast is available on Spotify. It's everywhere. Yeah, word up. Well, you guys have a wonderful day. I may get myself another cup of coffee. I shouldn't. Anyway, you guys take care of yourselves. Have a wonderful day. This is Howie Spangler, Tales from the Green Room. I'm terrible at ending things. All right, bye.